Colossians chapter 1. Give me a moment for people to get settled and turn to the passage of Scripture. If you have your Bibles with you, great. If you don't, we'll try to put up some verses on the screen. Sometimes we do that to save time, and so that way we don't have over an hour message. I try to stay under an hour, and tonight I'll try to do my best to do that. I hope that you've been blessed by this series, All About Jesus, amen? It's going to be our introduction for the year. It's our theme for the year, All About Jesus, found from Colossians, the book of the letter to the Colossae church, written by Paul the Apostle. So Colossians chapter 1, be upstanding in reverence to the Word of God. Give you an opportunity to stretch your legs. And we'll start from verse 18, which is our key verse for the year. And He, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Go to chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And then we'll go to chapter 3, beginning this time from verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created him. Now go back to verse 12, go down. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We do ask and pray that you bless it to our hearts this evening, and that you'd continue to speak to our hearts as you did this morning. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would arrest us so that we'd be focused. And Lord, we ask and pray if there be anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as their Savior, doesn't have the full assurance of their salvation, we do ask and pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As Paul writes to the church of Colossae, his main emphasis is that Christ is preeminent. He's the first above all. He's the head of the church. It's all about Jesus. This morning we're looking at some ways in which Jesus can be preeminent in our lives. We spoke about one of the ways in which we could make Jesus preeminent is to put away anger, wrath, malice, and put on mercy, kindness, meekness, and long-suffering. But also he mentions in verse 8, but now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice. But also he mentions here, blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Now blasphemy is generally signifies an offense to someone, whether it be to man or to God. It's a speech that injures. It's a slanderous speech, one that is abusive. It could also be mentioned that blasphemy is ungodly remarks. It could be counted as blasphemy. By the way, let me just encourage you, do not in any way, shape or form try to come up or even entertain jokes that are against the Word of God or even God Himself. That's blasphemy. People make light of the Word of God and treat it like a joke. Don't give ear to that. Don't follow that way. It's so easy to follow another person's joke because it's funny. But it's blasphemy when you undermine the Word of God, use the Word of God and make a joke of it. By the way, let me say this. The devil wants to make a joke of God's Word. And we don't need to help the devil. Amen? Cursing is blasphemy. I remember the time when I was saved. The next day, because living a gutted, a life in the gutter there on the street, you have a gutter mouth. my sentences were structured around cursing. The F word, the S word, it was funny. I didn't care about what people thought of me. I really didn't. I didn't really watch my mouth. I didn't really care. But when I got saved that night, the next day, because it was a habit and filthy communication would come out of my mouth, I'd go, oh, sorry, Lord. I noticed that I shouldn't be doing this and that the Holy Spirit of God convicted me regarding this. And so that needs to be put away. That needs to be cast off. It ought not to be our language as a Christian. By the way, in time, you'd never think about saying these things. You might dream about it, but you won't think about it during this time unless you're really put under a pressure and you're out of God's will and you're in the flesh. You might. But I pray that none of us will be for an extended time in the flesh and coming to that point. Using God's name in vain. You know how many people use God's name in vain? It is unbelievable how many people use God's name in vain. Unbelievable. No matter where you turn, no matter what you watch, a radio station, no matter what it is, everyone is using God's name in vain. And there are people that do it ignorantly, but brethren, let me say this to you. Watch your mouth when you say it, oh my God, when you just say it. There are many times in the Bible David would cry out, oh God, that's not blasphemy. But when you just say it for the means of frustration, or when you just say it for the sake of saying it, that's blasphemy. You're actually using God's name as a means of expressing your frustration. Let me say this, be careful of exchanging names that relate to the names of God. Like, oh my gosh. It's a substitute to God. I'm just saying, just be careful. I'm not saying it's a sin. Let God convict you about that. I used to say geez a lot. And Pastor used to always say, Charlie, sorry, Pastor, you know. I'd try to substitute, you know, my language. I'd say, geez, that looks... one day we're coming out of a Bible study and one of the ladies, it was a men's Bible study, but ladies wanted to cook and feed the men for that night. It was boys' meeting. Oh, mate, they can put up a feed. I was coming out that place one day and I've just finished dessert. It was this amazing dessert and I'd got out. I said, man, that was wicked. You know, yeah, I realized what I said that night. Wicked to explain something that is nice and sweet. Maybe it is to your health, but what I'm trying to say is be careful how you use your language. Let me ask you, what are some of the things that we can substitute? Maybe even think of things that are blasphemous. Anyone can help me out tonight? Some things? Other than that, what was mentioned? Okay? Yeah?
Using the word holy, like I've heard children say holy cow or holy...
Yeah, cow. Yeah, that's right. That, holy cow or... things regarding to that, be careful, because it could be blasphemous. Yes? Maybe. Well, I haven't heard of that one, but it could be. There you go. I thought it had to do something with a crocodile when I heard it, but I don't know. Anyone else? Just be careful how you use your mouth, because we can be Christians that try to substitute the way the world lives. And be careful that no filth comes out of our mouths. Filthy communication out of your mouth, corrupt communication, can also be mentioned as foul speaking. Low, dirty, rude, unkind and offensive speech. A person that gives destructive criticism. That's evil communication. Filthy communication. Tale-bearing is filthy communication. As we know it, gossip. A person that reveals secrets, carries tales or stories from one place to another. That person, I'll tell you, that's their life ministry. Getting the latest news and going out and telling someone else. They can't wait. They get the itch sometimes. They can't wait to dial their phone when they got brand new information. We had brand new information today. A baby was born, amen? That's good. That's good things. But let me say this to you. There's some bad things that people want to carry. Did you hear about that? And the way that you can feed tale-bearing is to say, oh, are you serious? Did that really happen? No way. And you haven't even heard the real story. And there is more stories. I'll tell you something. And I hope that you're a mature church and Christian, that you'd be wise enough to understand that not all stories are true. I'd hope that you'd understand that you wouldn't like lies being spread about you. And that you'd at least have some of your brethren to say they have enough Christian maturity to discern and understand that not what everyone says is true. Children are so amazing. They can come up with the craziest things. I tell you that much. But sometimes we can be like children. And so be careful, because tale-bearing is filthy communication. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 verse 19, he that goeth about as a tale-bearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. In Proverbs 18:8, the words of a tale-bearer is wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Another form of filthy communication is jesting. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, leave your finger there. We're going to turn back to Colossians. But go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice verse 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness, all covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Foolish talking, silly talk, unnecessary talk. A question that might be asked that would help you, is this necessary? Is this edifying? Sometimes we just say things and they're just off the cuff. There's no meaning to them, and sometimes they're not thought through. And it did no good to anyone. It didn't build anyone up. As a matter of fact, it left some question mark in someone's mind saying, what did they mean by that? Foolish talking, silly talk, jesting. This is wittiness, having a crude, rude sense of humor in a bad way. Always kidding around, a joker. Teasing others, bad jokes on other people's expense. Blonde jokes, fat jokes, racist jokes. Giving people insulting names. And you know, sometimes these people hold up to those names. And I really think they hold up to it and they use it. I'm thinking, why are you using this insulting name? Because that's how they feel, that they're a part of the group. That they've been called this name and they've hung on to it. And it's clearly insulting. Sarcastic, mocking and cynical. Some points to be careful over the top of, sarcasm or amusing, as people want to call it, amusing communication. It may give room for the devil to play in your mind or in that person's mind. Okay? You don't want to leave people guessing what you meant by that. That's what sarcasm sometimes does, especially if you're a bit slow like me. I'm not up to date with all the sarcasm comments. So I'll just go over the top. I'll just say, sometimes I'm talking to people on the phone and they'll ask me a question. They'll say, no, that was a question. Because I'll say, oh, really? They'll say, no, that was a question. Or sometimes it just goes over my head, even just, you know, talking in general. So can you imagine what sarcasm can do to a person if you're not up to date with all the larrikin talk and all that? Let me say this. People are hurting. They don't want to hear the latest joke about themselves. They're hurting. Not everyone can take a joke, by the way. Not everyone can take a joke. I heard someone say that fat jokes are okay as long as the fat person is laughing at it. Yeah, truly. You understand why those people laugh at fat jokes when you make a comment about fat jokes? Because what are they going to do, cry in front of you? They're going to go home and cry, I guarantee you that. They have some sort of emotion and feeling. They're going to go home and they're going to pillow their head and cry. If you go to the Bully Side website, according to the Bully Side statistics 2010, there are about 2.7 million students being bullied every year. 160,000 students stay at home so they're not bullied at school. I remember, I'm not saying that Christian schools don't have some sort of bullying, but I know, I understand that public schools may be over the top. Some Christians, through morally, might have some form of, you know, rules about teasing or anything like that. But I remember one time when, Gabby was going to a Christian school. It was the first week. And I remember very clearly, she said, "Oh, I love going to school now." I said, "Why?" She goes, "I don't get teased there." And so it really affects our children. You've heard the old proverb, "Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt." That's a lie. I reckon the devil made that up. I like to rephrase that. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will ever hurt. They do. They begin to ring in your ear. You begin to ponder upon them. Notice the tongue's potential in Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." The tongue can be used to help someone or to hurt someone. The tongue can be used to embarrass someone or to edify someone. The tongue can be used to break someone or to build someone up. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. By the way, there are many, many committing suicide because of bullying. Some have committed suicide because we now understand that relationship gone wrong. Some have been committing suicide because they haven't been accepted in some sort of group. They feel left out. But majority of the time, you go back to it and you find out it's because of bullying, and it's because of the tongue that flatters. They have cyberbullying now. They want to try to make it an offense. It's just happening all the time, especially on Facebook, where everyone can see it. We've had and heard about different ones committing suicide because of cyberbullying on Facebook. Yeah, it's a big thing. Bad enough people not wanting to go to work or school or whatever because of bullying and name-calling or whatever. But brethren, let me say this. Don't let it be in the church house, out of all places. Now, you want your kids to say, "I want to go to church." And if you hear your kids calling someone names at home or this or making this, stop them in their tracks and teach them to love them and to respect the other children. These days, we think that it's funny, or they're just children, but they need to be taught. The book of James talks a lot about the tongue. As a matter of fact, it's almost given a chapter to it. Let's go to James chapter 3. It talks about how it's a little member, part of our body, but it could have a great effect. James chapter 3. And we'll start from verse 5 for the sake of time. Notice what the Bible says. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things that are in the sea is tamed, have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless, we God, and with the Father, and therewith we curse man, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." I love how he just kind of ends it in that particular verse there. He continues to speak about it, about the fountain, how it can it send forth sweet water and bitter water. But I like how he just says that right after he's saying that the tongue cannot be tamed. I mean, what are you trying to say, James, here, that the tongue no man can tame? And over here you're saying to us that it ought not to be so, that we come to church and we sing and we praise God and then we ought not to gossip about our brethren? You see, we can't tame it. We're going to do it. Well, through the Holy Spirit of God, we can tame the tongue. Walking in the steps of Christ, we can tame the tongue. We're walking in the Spirit of God, we can. And we learn this. By the way, it doesn't happen overnight. Amen. Sanctification process, and it takes time, and we learn this, and we hope that we can just simply learn to keep that tongue tamed to a point where it doesn't unleash again until some time. You know, it's not constant, it's not consistent. There's a big gap in the time that we've slipped. Because someone once said that the tongue is in a slippery place, it's apt to slip. Absolutely. It is. And we need to put a watch on it. We need to be careful and tame the tongue. But the Bible says in Proverbs 21:23, notice that the tongue can cause trouble to self. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Someone once said, don't let your tongue cut off your head. We may use the expression, don't put your foot in your mouth. Watch what you say. Colossians 3:9, we go on to see not only filthy communication and blasphemy, but we see Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And we understand that you use your tongue and your mouth to lie. And we know that the root of the problem is out of the heart are the issues of life. We understand that. All these come from the heart of the flesh, amen. But we can stop it not coming out of here, praise God. And we don't have to lie one to another like we used to. Lying not is practically not telling the truth. I've got another form of lying here. Allow me to spend some time on this. Exaggerating is a form of lying. A person that blows things out of proportion. This is when you kind of stretch or bend the truth. Often this is to get the listener's attention and perhaps is a form of manipulating. Okay, so be careful you don't bend the truth or exaggerate the truth. Number two we have here as well, telling half of the truth is a form of lying. You've often heard it in the court of law. Amen. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The reason they emphasize that because they have a fine way of hiding some things and not letting some things, you know, tell them half of the story. You won't tell them whole of the story. Because sometimes when you do that, you protect yourself. You tell them the story that relates to you, not how you perhaps offended someone else. The things that would bust you, catch you out. See, it's a form of protecting self. Concealing the truth, not giving the whole truth is counted to be a lie. And by the way, this will hinder your integrity and your Christian character. Number three, deceitful tongue is lying. One that is deceitful in his speech. Notice what David said in Psalms 109 verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. How many here have received emails from someone that you know, but that person didn't send it? Anyone received emails from like that? You know, open it up. The very first time I opened that up, it was from a friend. I thought it was an encouraging email. Click on the link and some Christian thing's going to come up. You know what I got? Virus. And as I was clicking it, I thought, what if? It was too late. And I believe the virus was powerful enough to go through even whatever protection I had on my computer. That took me a whole to refurbish that computer, to get it back to what it was again, to take all the things out and put all the... It gave me a lot of trouble. Because deceitfulness is to make something look like the truth. And they hack into someone's computer, use your name and send an email to make you think that's the person that's sending it, but it's not them. I want you to think that that's them. Remember, Satan deceived Eve by lies. Remember that? She was deceived, the Bible says, because of lies. Proverbs 25:18, the Bible says, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maw and a sword and a sharp arrow. It does damage. And a deceitful tongue does damage. She lieth in wickedness. She lieth in sin. A deceitful tongue is for you to turn away from a truth and to be turned to lies. Notice what Jesus said to the religious rulers, the Pharisees, in John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of the father, the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. See that? The root of this problem is from Satan himself. He is the father of lies. He has no pleasure in truth. He wants to turn people away from the truth. And he uses it by lying, being deceitful. And how, notice how the Lord feels about lying. In Proverbs 12:22, notice, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. That word abomination, abominable. In other words, can I just say this? It's disgusting. The Lord doesn't look at lying lips as something to be something. And this is what we go around, we tell people, have you ever lied before? Have you broken the Ten Commandments? Yeah, I've lied before. Who hasn't? And they make it to be something that is light. But lying is destructive, and God hates lying. He hates it, looks at it, says, "Pooh! Pooh! It's an abomination. It's disgusting." And people make light of it. See, and the way they make light of it these days, they say, "Oh no, that was just a white lie. That lie that I committed was to protect someone else." Yeah. How many times is that true? Most of the times, to protect self. Most of the times, to cover our backs. Come on. That's the flesh. But we have to cast off and put away a lying tongue, because the Lord hates a lying tongue. It destroys. Notice the disposition of those that tell the truth. But they that deal truly are his delight. What a contrast. One turns his face, disgusting, and he delights in the one that tells the truth. Even if that person's, you know, needs to humble themselves and admit the truth, bow down their pride. Yeah, okay, their character might be tainted for a period of time or whatever it takes to build that trust with another, but let me tell you, telling the truth is the best thing. The best thing that you can ever do is tell the truth. You want to live your life as a Christian, lying your way through. God says, I don't delight in that. But I delight in the one that tells the truth. Let me say, be honest in your work. Because your boss, he's not silly. You know, some bosses, they try to do things in such a way where, you know, they check up on you, but they don't tell you that they check up on you. And as long as they need you, they won't tell you. But when they don't need you anymore, then they'll let you know what you've done wrong, and they'll use it against you. Christian, don't let that be in your life. Don't let them have an accusation against you. And especially if you say that you're a Christian. We need to live like a Christian. You know, let me just say this. I know it's not easy and I know it may be hard, but look, let me just say this. If you're late 10 minutes, tell your boss. Tell him. It may not be a big thing to him, but just tell him. So I was late. I remember one time I was a teenager and I was working in a factory trying to make a few dollars. And there was this former, he was a manager there. So I thought, he's a manager, no big deal, you know. He used to bundy on for me in the morning. He'd get there early and he'll bundy on. He'll clock me in and I'll get there an hour later. And of course, he would want something back in return. So he'll leave an hour early and I'll stay a little longer because he's come perhaps 3 hours early, and I'll bundy him off. So that way, when I leave, he's got an extra hour. Yeah, we did that. But that ought not to be in a Christian life. That was back when I wasn't saved. Ought to be honest, amen. Tell the truth, not be deceitful. And notice there, Proverbs 12, verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever. But a lying tongue is but for what? A moment. You know, Satan and those that want to live a lie, listen, they're not going to live long. They're just for a moment. They're getting and squeezing through life just as life, as they have life, as long as this world is operating. But there's going to be a time where that's cut off and they can't lie anymore. There's going to become an end to that lying tongue. Practically, let me just say this. Be sure that your sin will find you out. And if it's not going to be, if you found out in this lifetime, God will sort you out in the next one. You say, well, my sin is forgiven. Amen. Absolutely. It's on the cross right there. We're not judged for our sin. But should we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And if we live our lives lying our way through society, I guarantee you there'll be no reward for you, Christian. There'll be no happy resurrection for you. And so we need to put away this, and not to be even in our minds, in our thoughts about even thinking this. Although you might slip from time to time here or there, because the sinful nature's there, it's deceitful. Our heart is deceitful, but we need to tame it, put it away, and we need to start putting on some things that God wants us to put on. But before we get there, broken promises is lying. Broken promises is lying. This is when a person says that they're going to do something and they don't do it. They haven't, in other words, kept their word. Sometimes this could be done unintentionally. However, do not make it a habit. Don't make it a habit. Don't let it be part of your habit or your character. Apologize when it's brought to your attention. Amen? And if you're going to apologize and you say sorry to that person that you broke that promise to, and you say this to him, you say, I'm sorry I broke my promise. It won't happen again. Make sure you don't break your promise about breaking the promise. Does that make sense? Be careful when you say it won't happen again, because it might happen again. You didn't really mean to say it that way. You were just so sorry. But we still live in the flesh. Sometimes we do things, we forget things. But we need to be sober-minded and say, God, I don't want to be having this habit. Amen? It just happens. It's our character. But we pray that God will help us out of it and not make excuses. But be responsible for what we do and when we break our promises. I'm just saying, if you desire to be a person that someone will take you serious and trust you, then keep your promise as best as you can. I'm not here to scold you. I'm not here to put you down or be condescending. I fall into that sometimes, but I don't want to continue falling into that. I want to say, God, help me out of that. Help me be better in my character. Help me be sober-minded. Help me not to forget things. Amen? And by the way, when I promise something to Elisha, he doesn't make me forget it. He won't. Nah. I'll tell him, oh, we're going to go do something all day, 8 hours. I went out to work or did something. And Janet would tell me all day, he's been, Daddy come, we go park. Daddy come the whole day. He doesn't let me forget. I open the door, the first thing, Daddy, park, park. How do you remember from the morning that when I got home I was going to do that with you? You know, it's just amazing. Thank God for that, because I did forget. I did forget. But I don't want to make it a habit. Amen? I want to be sensitive to my promises, my word. I want them to mean something. And sometimes God will use your kids in that area. Let me just say this. Aren't you glad that we have a God that can be trusted? Amen. Aren't you glad that we have a God that keeps His word? They say that there is about 366 promises in the word of God. One for every day of the year and one extra one for the leap year. Oh, I want to take the time to research that and try to find them out and maybe give you that list. But what a blessing. We have a God that gives promises that He never breaks. And He wants you to claim those promises as His children. What a wonderful thing that is. In Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a man that He should lie. In Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Titus 1:2, in a hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And I'm just saying to you that doctrine of that you can lose your salvation is false. Because God is not a liar. And He's not an Indian giver. When He gives you a gift of eternal life, that's what it is, eternal life. But the question is, have you received that gift? Most of the times, people that believe that you can lose your salvation are perhaps begun in the spirit, but now trying to keep the law to maintain it. or majority of the time, but perhaps leaning on their own efforts to get to heaven. But I can trust the living word of God. I can trust his word saying that through him, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I can have the forgiveness of our sin. Because he is preeminent over my salvation. In him and in his blood, there is forgiveness of my sin. I can trust him alone. And he does not in any way, shape or form break his promises. That's what I lean on. That's what I depend upon. God said it. That's it. That's his character. You can trust him. He's not a man that he should lie. We can pattern our lives, no doubt, after him. Amen. After our Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the new man. The new man. Follow after Christ. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Someone once said, though your eyes get heavy and your shoulders, arms and legs ache with fatigue, your tongue registers no weariness. Man, it just doesn't stop. Everything else gets tired in your body, but your tongue. So this is why we need to think before we speak. Amen. I love it. I probably used it before, the acrostic, using the word think. Anyone can remember that? This helps me. Think. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, someone once had it there, it's inspiring, but I like to say, is it important? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Is it kind? Someone once said, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Keep it to yourself. Cast it out. Amen? I want to have a few people. Maybe the little ones can help me out. You want to help me out, Charlotte? Sky? All right. I want you to help me out. And I want you to see if you can actually... I'm going to squirt some of these. Here, hold one of these. There you go. You can have one too, okay? I want to squirt some of this toothpaste out. You want to go first, Sky? All right, come up. I'm going to put some here, okay? And I want to see if you can actually put that back into the tube. Can you try? Try to get it all back in there if you can. Is it going in? Let me have a look. Let's see how far you've gone. Okay. It's really all over the place, right? It's very hard to put it back in, right? Charlotte, you give it a go. But good effort, good try. Just for the record, I can't do it either. Okay, let's... Okay, here you go. How'd you go, Charlotte? Very hard, isn't it? It's on the tip of that lid, but it's not all the way in. Good effort. Good try. Thank you. Give him a clap for trying. Hard. Once it's out, that's it. You can't take it back. You can't. So you need to think before you speak. No way in the world that you can actually take it back. Once it's said, it's done. The damage is done. We spoke about that woman. Remember that woman that went up to Billy Sunday? And she tried to justify her anger and how she throws tantrums and outbursts. And she says to Billy Sunday, she says to him, "Oh, you know, I might lose my temper, but that's it. It's done. It's over." And he just looked at her and he said, "So is a shotgun. It makes a big noise, but it does damage. And once what you say and you condescend and you throw words at people, the damage is done. You're not really throwing a tantrum or anger at yourself. You're not really trying to destroy yourself. You're in an outrage and you say silly things. Yeah, you can't take them back. You can say sorry, but you've wounded that child. The damage has been done. It's been done. Absolutely. We want to minimize the times that we keep saying sorry, amen. We want to minimize the time we keep saying, I should not have spoke to you that way. And by the way, let me just say this. I hope you do. When you say something unkind or you lie or you say something that is not right, I hope you can go up to that person and say, look, I didn't mean to say that. It just, you know, look, I'm sorry. It just came out. I was frustrated, wasn't walking with the Lord and just said something silly. I didn't mean to lie to you. I didn't mean to exaggerate. It wasn't my intention. It's just the flesh. And there are other times where you do mean to. You may address it with the other person. You may say, you better watch what you're saying. You're going too far now. And you try to help the person. Stop there. I don't care. You don't really mean that, do you? You're just in the flesh right now and you're losing it. I'm going to give you some time to calm down. But be careful, because you can do damage. You can hurt people. If we are going to use our tongue, let us use it to minister grace to the hearers, that it may be to the building up of our brethren. Let's endeavor to live 2014 saying it's about Jesus. And if it's about Jesus, it's about others. And how I can build people up and encourage people, be kind to people, love people. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forbearing means to bear with or to endure. And how is one supposed to forbear with someone? Is to forgive him. Absolutely. And how do I forgive? Put on charity. Notice that. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity. Put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. This is the bond. This is the joint tie. It's like a ligament, a uniting principle. My friend Robert and Slam were playing football with the touch football with the inmates. And he was up in the air. I remember him trying to catch the ball. And as he landed, he snapped the patella tendon. Snapped it in half. Not tore any ligaments, but he snapped the patella tendon. It's the tendon that actually lifts up your leg. You wouldn't believe this. The inmates and some of even the Slam players carried him off the field. And they continued to play. And they didn't realize how bad his injury was. He, you know, when you do something, I'm okay, you try to beat, but later on, just blew up, his knee went like that, took him to the hospital, I'll never forget it, went to Bankstown Hospital. And he sat in one of these wheelchairs and he had his leg up because he couldn't lift it up. I'll never forget it. I was pushing him and all, you know, with the wheelchair, and then his leg slipped and he wanted to lift it up and there was no way, and he's shaking, Charlie, and I had to go and pick up his leg like that. I was terrible, couldn't lift it. I was like, and that's the bond, that's the very peace, the charity, the love. Without love, you can't forgive. Without love, you cannot be kind. Without love, you'll be mean. Without love, you'll gossip. Without love, you go around and slander. Without love, you'll be angry. You need love, and you can only find it in Him. No one else. No way in the world. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to love like He loved. No one loved like Jesus. No one forgave like Jesus. Love is what will hold you up to forgive others. Love is what will hold you up to be kind to others, patient with others. It's the love, it's that bond. It's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus loved Judas to the end. To the end. The Pharisees wagging their heads, mocking Jesus. And Jesus cries out, "Father, forgive him." Can I just say this? If Jesus indicates or instructs us to forgive our enemies, how much more one another? You know, honestly, it should be easy. If God wants us to forgive our enemies, the ones that hurt us, the one that blasphemed, the one that wagged their heads, the one that gossips, the one that intentionally injures and maliciously tries to injure us, purposely. If God will have us to forgive them, pray for them. For the Bible mentions in Mark chapter 5, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." God would say to us, when you see your enemy down the street, say hello to him. Don't walk past him or in the other direction. Say hello, be genuine. For even the publicans salute those that salute them. God wants you to go above the expected. And if God wants us to do that with our enemies, how much more with our brethren? How much more with our wives, our kids, and our family? How much more? Perhaps you heard the story about a woman and her husband who came to the pastor and they both said they want a divorce. They said to the pastor that they had no feelings left in their marriage and they were hoping that the pastor would understand and would help them get the divorce. Instead, the pastor said to the husband, "The Bible says you ought to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." He says, "Oh, I can't do that." And the pastor looked at him and he says, "Okay, let's begin at a lower level then. You're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Can you at least love her as you would love your neighbor?" And the husband said, "No. That's still too high for me." The pastor looked at him. He says, "Okay, the Bible says love your enemies. Begin there." Absolutely. You know why it's so hard for people to forgive? Whether they're in a marriage covenant relationship. And we understand that pride. But it's not all about him. Guess who it's all about? It's all about me. How you hurt me. You wronged me. How dare you? Can I ask you something? Have you wronged anyone else? That will help you. "Oh, my child will never do that. She's an angel." I didn't see too many of my kids being angels. They're sinners. And if you said, Elisha did something and he did something mean, I'll believe you. I walked into Megan today. I said, "How was Elisha?" Because I know how he can be. He can be pushy. He can be loud. He can be obnoxious. It's his flesh. And we're trying to teach him. But you know what conquers all? Love. Charity. Wow. Love. And you know how it makes it easy for you to love? When you say, "It's not about me, it's about him." When you look to him, it's easy. And you look to him and you see how much he has forgiven you. And then it's so easy to forgive others. Because our debt, this big, Paul, chief of sinners, everyone's got a big debt. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, and we'll finish there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Let's say that together. Ready? Begin. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. I pray that you do that. That you'd live a life saying, it's all about him. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. I want to be like him. Let's pray.